The first step on the way to world domination, bring your innovation into the standards world with the help of a DeanSpec.
Human beings are not ants. Unlike our tiny friends, we don't naturally know how to live together in large groups. This is why we need rules. And besides political rules, we also have technical rules, also known as standardization. It's actually one of our democratic rights to contribute to shape these rules. In this podcast, I will not tell you what you really should know about standardization. Because Amelie Leibrand will.
Hello and welcome back to our little podcast, Human Beings Are Not Ants. What you never wanted to know about standardization, but definitely should know. My name is Amelie and I'm so happy that you are with me here again today. I promised you that we would go back and look at standardization a little bit closer. I owe you some more information on DeanSpec. Do you remember that? It was part of the Robin Hood story. I would like to place them in a kind of standardization strategy framework. In other words, the consideration of how to skillfully begin to introduce your own topic into standardization and what follow-up steps you can then take to extend the reach further. I call this process three steps to world domination, so to say. So, if I find myself at the point where I'm thinking, yeah, I'm good to go now, I'm ready, what would be a good strategy? If you realize, Dean documents in my sector are really missing and I'd like to get that done. The best thing would be if it could be done quickly somehow. And oh yeah, going international would actually be quite good too. There are tons of wonderful examples of how this can go and I'd like to tell you my favorite one. Two young engineers had set up their own business based on their dissertation topic, a new type of testing method. And they were now presenting themselves to the professional world at a trade fair. A colleague who was in charge of the standards committee on exactly this topic at the time was also at this trade fair, saw them there and said, "Cool idea, so how does your test method work? And who are your customers?" So they explained to my colleague, "The test works like so-and-so, take a look here." And the customers, they should be getting on board soon. And then my colleague gave them his card and said, "Well, if they don't start showing up, give me a call." A few weeks later, they did indeed call him up and said, "Yeah, so what was that about customers again? They are not really coming in droves as we had hoped. What can we do to change that?" So he explained to them, "Here's the deal. You guys have a brand new test method. Nobody knows about it and nobody even needs it yet. It's not documented or required anywhere. Why should anyone hand over a bunch of cash to you in order to find out something about their material that they don't officially need to know? The person who commissions you also has to justify in their own company why that money has been spent. Yes, well, I commissioned a material test for 10,000 euros. We know now what our material can do regarding a property that we were not interested in before. And that, we can write that on our website." This is not going to happen. What you need is some kind of official endorsement for your new test method. First of all, your test has to exist among technical experts. It has to somehow become visible and then be endorsed or validated. Ideally, someone would say, "Whoever wants to offer me material for further processing, for example, for my aircraft, has to use this test. I want to know about this particular property." Then your test method would become important for the expert. And for this type of recognition, you might have guessed, it's quite advantageous if such a test is according to Dean so-and-so. You can't write a Dean document on your own, which means that the experts, or at least some of them, have taken a closer look at the contents and stand behind the published results. And if you now say, "I'd like to, but I can't refer to my innovation as according to Dean because it's new. There is no Dean standard out there that documents what my test can do." Well then, I've said it before, you aren't simply out of luck. Standardization is not a question of fate. Rather, you have opened up or discovered or created a standardization gap, and you can close it. In any case, these two engineers decided to take the fastest route into the world of standardization by developing a Dean spec. More on that in just a moment. So the first step on the way to world domination, bring your innovation into the standards world with the help of a Dean spec. When their test became available as a Dean spec, this recognition got them included in an official test catalog of a specific discipline. This increased their visibility and their orders dramatically. The second step was to have the Dean spec translated into English and then submitted to ISO as a standards proposal. It was accepted, and an ISO standard was developed on the basis of that Dean spec. In the third and final step, the ISO standard was adopted at the European level and is now available as a Dean EN ISO. What does that mean? This means that this material test is now recognized both in Europe and internationally and in use. Of course, none of this just happens on its own. You have to put in the work. Technical regulation works differently than social regulation or politics. When it comes to politics, I can mark my ballot and then go my way. Someone else takes it from there. How happy I am with the job they are doing is another matter. If I want to get involved on a deeper level, such as running for political office like a member of parliament, that is a pretty long journey. But with technical regulation, I hold quite a lot of power in my own hands. I am allowed to get involved, but I also have to get involved if I want something to move forward in my favor. During the international coordination processes, it's a good idea to exchange ideas with a few committees from other countries in order to get to know each other and ideally to explore common ground. And all of this costs money too. But the effort is definitely worth it. For one thing, your test is now according to Dean EN ISO so-and-so and has a completely new level of legitimacy. And further, you don't write a Dean document all by yourself. At the meetings where you develop the standard or Dean spec, you get to know people you wouldn't usually have access to. Developers from large companies, for example, who then also might place the first big order. Sometimes the first practice checks happen during these meetings along the lines of, so if I give you 10,000 specimens to test, do I have to wait 2 years for my result? No, of course not. We will be getting faster, for example. So I have mentioned Dean spec a few times now, and I'd like to explain to you a bit more what exactly this is. In a way, a Dean spec is a slimmed down version of a Dean standard. The spec in Dean spec is short for specification. This is a different type of document than a standard. Sounds like I'm really splitting hairs here, but for us it's a big difference. I'm sure you know this from your own work. For those who know this stuff, differences in detail are extremely important. Everyone else thinks, oh my, who cares? Anyway, Dean standard and Dean spec are two different types of documents that you can develop with us. Because Dean spec is created in a slightly different way, it's perfectly suited for cases when it needs to go a bit faster or when the topic doesn't yet really have a home in terms of a Dean standards committee. If, for example, you are involved in research and you have a research project lasting 3 years and after 2.5 years you realize that the results are astonishingly good and that they could be incorporated in a Dean document, but such a standardization process simply takes too long, then Dean spec would be the perfect type of document for you. So, a standard is developed in a standards committee. Such a committee deals with a particular topic and works on all documents that fall within that area. This can be many documents. Some of them are national, some European, some international. This means that each standards committee typically has a lot to do, and it can take a bit longer for each document to be finished than if they were only dealing with one at a time. A Dean spec, on the other hand, is developed in an extra body called a consortium. that is founded solely for that purpose and works on that document alone. In addition, there are other deadlines operating in the background than with the standard. In particular, the draft publication may be omitted with the Dean Spec. And the Dean Spec may be adopted by a simple majority vote instead of consensus, which can shorten the discussion time. Although, in my experience, Dean Spec always end up being adopted by consensus anyway. The experts involved are there because they think the topic is important and are committed to finding good solutions. I have actually never had an experience that somebody was sitting in such a consortium with an attitude like, oh man, you guys are all dumb. But you also can't write a Dean Spec all by yourself. You need at least 3 stakeholders for a Dean Spec consortium. Why so few? Well, Dean Spec is our document meant for innovations. They often emerge from a research project, and there are sometimes not many more stakeholders who would be interested in the particular topic at all. Nonetheless, it still makes sense to hash everything out and formulate it into a Dean document. Besides, the requirement of at least 3 stakeholders allows us to determine the demand for a Dean Spec. Even if many people believe this, no, we don't standardize everything that falls into our hands. And we also don't select the topics. We standardize something only if there's a need for it. And we need to be able to measure the need independent of content. Keep in mind, we are not the content. You are. We are the process. And we measure the need like this. Are there at least 3 stakeholders who are willing to invest time and money to see this project through to the end? And if the money is a real problem for startups, for example, then you have to invest even more time because you can often cover the costs through funding programs. But you have to put in some extra work to procure this money. And for that, you need extra time. For example, in many research funding programs, you can apply for third-party services for market introduction or something similar. There's a TIM program for small and medium-sized enterprises, or the IGZIS program, which supports university graduates, scientists, and students with their tech-oriented and knowledge-based startups. Take a look. There are lots of opportunities out there. Or maybe our own Dean DKE funding program is active at the moment. It's called Dean Connect. It works basically like an idea competition. You submit your idea and explain what standardization gap this innovation will close. If you win it, you win developing a Dean Spec free of charge. Take a look at our website. You can find the link in the episode notes. We usually have a submission period once a year for 4 months. As you can see, we know that you often have super exciting and important topics, but can't always afford to work with us. So this is why we are reaching out to you. You only have to take the chance. Well, that was it for today. Thanks for listening. Until next time, take care and stay curious.